Today, we're talking, as you can see, we're going to take communion and we're talking about communion. And really, the significance of this is a mystery sometimes, and we wonder, in a fast-paced technological society, what is the significance of taking communion? And so what is its significance for us in the 21st century? So if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. If you're online today, pause and pull out your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 22 as well. We're going to start reading in verse 17, and we're going to cover these verses for today. So if you would, follow along as we read this together. It says, after taking the cup, Jesus gave thanks, and he says, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink it again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it. And he gave it to him, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 20. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. If you've been in church long at all, you've been a follower long at all, you've taken communion. But why? Why have we taken communion? There's a story of a church that was kind of in a rural setting, and every Sunday that they would sing the song Gloria Patri. And what would happen is the congregation would all stand up and they would all turn to their right and face the right side wall. So everyone would turn, stand up and turn and look at the wall, and they would sing the Gloria Patri song together, but it was just a blank wall. And so a newcomer came to the church and said, hey, why does everyone stand up, turn to the right and sing to a blank wall? And no one had the answer. And the newcomer, you know, they said, well, this is what we've always done. So the newcomer kept on pressing, well, why? Do you know why, George? Do you know why, Forrest? Do you know why? And finally, there was an older gentleman in the church that said, I remember why. When I was a kid, we were a small church and didn't have money for hymnals. And so the words to that song were painted on the right wall. And over the years, the words faded. Over the years, it was painted over multiple times. But everyone still stood up and turned and looked at the right wall and sang that song together, because that's what they had always done. You see, oftentimes we lose the real significance of why we do certain things like partaking of the Lord's Supper together. So what is the significance for us in the 21st century? What is the significance for us to take in this? We live in a fast-paced technological society. We rush through appointment after appointment, failing to look back at the reasons why, and we just go through the motions from one thing to the next, to the next. So what is the significance? We often don't stop and to think about the meanings why and what were a part of our worship. We just do it because it's always been that way. If you were asked about communion, could you give an answer for why we take the Lord's Supper together? Could we defend it of what we believe and why we believe and what we do? So here's the thing. Today, as we're moving into the fall season, it doesn't feel like fall, but as we're moving into the fall season, as we're starting a new school year, as we are moving forward, let's pause and remember the work of the Lord that brought us spiritual freedom. Let's see what we can understand out of Scripture today. But for us to understand the Lord's Supper, we have to understand the history of the Lord's Supper. You see, in Luke chapter 22, that they are celebrating the traditional Passover of the Jewish culture. What this is, it's a celebration that they did every year. It's a festival that they did every year, and they were commemorating the exodus of coming out of Egypt. Now, the closest thing that we would understand culturally here is this, is that we celebrate July 4th. But instead of just coming out of rule of another country, that they were celebrating the freedom and the exodus out of slavery in a foreign land, to where they were then coming to their promised land. And so they were doing this Jewish festival every year. It was like our 4th of July, but probably far more significant. And they had the bread and they had the fruit of the vine. These were traditional parts of Passover. So they culturally understood what these elements were, but Jesus, ever relevant. How many of you know Jesus? He was the greatest teacher, and part of it was because he would use things they were familiar with. He would bring these spiritual concepts and use the application of something in the physical so that they could capture it. He was the most amazing, relevant teacher ever. And in verse 17, he's given new meaning to these old elements, and here's what he says. He says, I have eagerly desired to eat Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds the fulfillment in the kingdom of God. He's telling them that the reason that this is so important, the reason that this is so crucial for you to understand is because he is ready to go to the cross. And he's wanting to use the bread and he's wanting to use the wine to explain the significance of what he is about to do on the cross. You see, he used the things that they were already familiar with to lead them into this new spiritual dimension. Guys, I want you to know today that God wants you to go into deeper spiritual dimensions. That God wants us to grow in our relationship with him. He wants us to understand him more. He wants us to grow in this knowledge of who he is and this experience of his character and for us to grow in deeper depths in relationship with him. How many of you are not the same today as when you came to faith in Christ, but you've grown in your walk with God? How many? That is God's desire for our lives, is that we go into new spiritual dimensions in relationship with him. And that's what he is telling these guys, that we are going from the old covenant, which is what Passover was under, and we're going into this new covenant. And under the old covenant, that there was forgiveness of our sins through rituals and through the animal sacrifices. And he's wanting them to understand the difference of the old covenant and the new. And that Jesus' death on the cross seals this new covenant, this new relationship, the new way that God deals with us. And he says, do this in remembrance of him. Again, in the Old Testament, we came through the old covenant that we had forgiveness of sins through rituals, through the worship policies, and through the sacrifice of animals. But in the new covenant, again, this new relationship with God, that Jesus himself is ultimately the final sacrifice there when he died on the cross for sinners. Even John the Baptist in John 1:21, that John has his own disciples and people that follow him, and John says, hey, there he is, behold the Lamb. That's the one, the coming Messiah. He's saying, this is the new covenant. That's the guy right here. And that his life, his death on the cross would be effective for removing sins for all who place their trust in him. And it would be effective for all of eternity. Jesus' sacrifice, unlike the old covenant, wouldn't have to be repeated over and over and over again. That when you came to faith in Christ, that your sins were forgiven. There was an airline executive that on his desk in Chicago, he had very front and center, when you walked in, he said this. He said, don't bother agreeing with me. I've already changed my mind. How many of you have ever worked with a boss like that? Fortunately, God's not like that. God's not like that where he's changing his mind regularly, where God's changing the pattern regularly, that God has an agreement with us. And Jesus was drawing on the knowledge of their past with Passover, the old covenant, and he was the old sacrificial system to open up their lives to understanding the significance of this new, this everlasting covenant with him. You see, in the Old Testament, multiple times, this new covenant that we're talking about under Jesus was prophesied about multiple times. Jeremiah, Isaiah, that they prophesied about this change in the covenant with God. Now, when we talk about prophecy, sometimes maybe you've had a bad experience and you think that's weird, but ultimately, that's the way God operated through men and would speak through their lives and telling of what was coming through the coming Messiah. And now he's saying this, there's not going to be another new covenant except for heaven. Well, what we understand from scripture, that there was the old covenant, they were prophesying about the new covenant, and this life of Jesus, this person of Jesus, that was sealed, that was fulfilled, and that the next part that we know that's coming will be heaven, where we celebrate in heaven with God. And so this was an everlasting agreement, and here's what it says in Jeremiah 31, verse 31 and 32. It says, a time is coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made of the forefathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. See, the importance of this Passover meal that Jesus is sitting there sharing with the disciples is that the time had come for the old covenant to be fulfilled, and Jesus was wanting them to understand it. He instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which we still observe today, which we'll still take here in just a moment. And in verse 19, he says, do this in remembrance of me. You see, he retained the elements of the bread and the fruit of the vine, giving them brand new meaning in this new covenant. And he said this, that this represents my body, which was given to you. This cup is the new covenant of my blood, which was poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. He's saying, guys, for us to understand why we take communion, we've got to know a little history. And here's what he's saying. It was tied to Passover, a festival that they celebrated, their freedom from slavery. And now he's saying this is the new covenant where you have freedom from sin through him, through relationship with him. And so now we're saying, okay, that's great. That's a little history there. But what is the significance for me today? Right now, sitting in church on Sunday morning in Dallas, Texas, what is the significance for me right now? Jesus is ultimately saying this, every time we take the bread and every time we take the cup, that we do this in remembrance of him. That he wants us to remind us of what he did for us. That sometimes we don't stop and think about that, but he's saying, I want this for you to understand exactly what I've done for you. You see, there are different times that you see something or you have mementos and it reminds you of someone who's gone on to be with the Lord. That, as you guys know, my dad is battling with cancer right now, and something that we did recently is he's battling with this is we brought all of his brothers and sisters and they had a family reunion at his house. And while we were there, we saw pictures that were hanging in their walls, and it had pictures of our grandparents. It had pictures from when we were kids. It had pictures at family reunions, and it reminded us of our family. And then it had pictures of my grandmother and grandfather when they were young, and they had three young kids with them. And they were holding them, and the family was young, and it reminded me of my grandparents. This week, I was going through a box that I had that had some mementos in it, and I pulled out an old pocket knife, and it was from my great uncle Mac in Amarillo, Texas. And when he passed away, that he gave me that, or he had them give me that the knife, and it reminded me of my great uncle Mac. And so for us, Jesus is saying, when you take communion, I want this to be a moment where you remember the work that he did in our lives. That we remember where we were without Christ. We remember where we were before we came into relationship with him. We remember those things and we say, God, thank you for what you did for me, the forgiveness that you brought. Thank you, Lord. So instead of it just being ritual that we go and we take it and we say a little prayer, that it is a significant and meaningful moment in our life. I'm super sentimental when it comes to my kids. My oldest, in just about 13 days, we are driving her to Minneapolis to go to college. Oh, I've been pretty good to this point. I haven't shed any tears. My wife has shed a few tears. She's not the sentimental one. She's just like, let's just take care of business, right? But yet through this, she's cried a bit. And, you know, Mom, it's 4 weeks until I go to Minneapolis. And Tamara's like, huh. I've been good. But I've worked it through the progression in my mind. To where we drive her up there. We go through some of the orientation events as a family. We get up on Sunday morning. We go to church together. And then after Sunday morning service, we drop her back at the dorm. And it's time for her to be there and for us to get on the road and leave and come back. And I'm feeling it already, like right here in my heart. But I remember the moment that Madison was born. I remember going to the hospital early, early one morning, and the big country nurse walked us in there. She's a college athlete, 6'4", and she walked us in, and she said, honey, is this your first child? And my wife said, yeah. She said, get ready. It's going to shake your life. Okay. I remember going through and sitting there and watching the process, and when she was born, holding her as she's barely wrapped up in some clothes. It's a meaningful moment for me. And my wife still says to this day that she went into the hospital married to some young guy, and she walked out married to a different guy because it was so impactful for my life. And when I think about those moments, it's still meaningful. 18 years later. And that's how communion is. That when we take these elements and we take the bread and we take the fruit of the vine, the wine, the juice, we take these things and that we begin to partake of communion. It's not just ritual that we do as Christians. It's part of our process. We've always done it. We've always turned to the right and sang to the wall. We've always taken these things. But instead, it's where we're remembering that significant moment to where we crossed the line of faith, to where sins were forgiven, to where our life was transformed, that it's significant for our lives. And we remember who He is and what He did for us, that we take communion with powerful purpose. And so today we take this out of more than just ritual. It's where Jesus is saying, remember me. Remember my teachings. Remember what I did for you on the cross. Remember the new covenant that is for your lives today. And just as a significant, the Passover was a significant reminder of the deliverance out of Egypt and out of slavery, and it was freedom in a physical sense, the Lord's Supper celebrates deliverance and freedom in a spiritual sense from sin by Christ's death. You see, under the old covenant, we could only approach God through the ritual of the law and through the animal sacrifice, but now, every single one of us can go boldly to God in prayer, can go boldly to God in relationship. Now that this new covenant, it is more than empty ritual. It completed the Old Testament and is now allows us to go directly to God ourselves. It opened up the path. So it's not empty form for us. We do it in remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Now, what's included in this new covenant? If you're taking notes, I want you to write some of these things down. So what exactly is it that God wants us to remember? What exactly are we celebrating when we take communion and we're remembering God and we're remembering who He is and we're remembering what He's done? What exactly does He want us to remember? Number one is this, is that there is forgiveness of our sins. So I want to, all across the room today, how many of you in here have ever lied? Raise them up high. How many of you in the room, you've ever had an impure or lustful thought? Come on, raise them up. How many of you in here have ever been jealous? Come on, anyone ever been jealous? Anyone held a grudge? How many of you are still holding a grudge? And we have forgiveness. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Guys, that we're celebrating here that we have forgiveness, that the past, the areas that we blew it, maybe when we were young and dumb, maybe when we were old and rebellious, I don't know, but there is forgiveness of those sins in our lives, and we are remembering that. We're remembering also, this is something that we talk about a lot, that we're under grace, not under performing well enough for God. I mean, this is something that we've talked about since almost day one, from the first month since we've existed as a church 7 years ago, that we can never perform well enough that it impresses God. Judah, I'm good enough. God, aren't you impressed with how good I am? I did 3 good deeds this week. I helped an old lady change a tire. I just stopped on the side of the road. Aren't you impressed with me, God? Oh, you know what? I read my Bible, Matt, 3 times this week, and I prayed, and you know, I even shed a tear in my prayer time. I mean, God, aren't you impressed with my sincerity? God's going, no, I'm not impressed with your sincerity. We are remembering the forgiveness of our sins by God's grace because of His love for us. It's by grace, through faith, that we have salvation. Number two, we're celebrating this. We're celebrating peace with God. In Romans 5:1, it says, we have peace with God through, everybody say through. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. God's not mad at you. That we have peace with God. that sometimes we think, man, God is out to get me. He's out to keep me down. And sometimes we think I mess up and he's ready to stomp me. That we think that whatever. But God's not mad at you. God disciplines us. The Bible calls it he chastens us at times. But how many of you know that discipline is not bad? Every good parent should discipline their children. Every good parent should correct their children. Every good parent should give them a good, you know, swat on the behind just to get them going in the right direction. If you don't believe in corporal punishment, whatever, it's just a saying. That God disciplines us, but that's because he wants to get us going in the right direction. He's saying, this is not the right way. Go this direction. And sometimes the discipline is not some bad thing. It's just he lets you participate in the sin, and that sin itself is its own punishment. God's not out to smite you. God's saying, okay, sometimes the result of that is enough punishment in and of itself. He disciplines us, though, to get us going in the right direction. But we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And when we take communion, we can say, thank you, God, that I'm at peace with you, God. Number three is this, is that we have reconciliation with God. 2 Corinthians 5:19, it says, all of this is from God who reconciles us to himself through, there's that word again, through Jesus Christ, that we are reconciled through the act of Christ on the cross. And when we take communion, we're remembering that him hanging on the cross, dying and rising again for us, that reconciles us to him. That's a beautiful thought. It's a beautiful thought that his ways are not our ways. His ways are higher. And the word reconcile here means this, to live in harmony with, or to make one consistent with the other. And that when we come to faith in Christ, that our life begins to become in line with the character of God. That's part of the maturing process, is that we're coming in line with the character of God. And so we're reconciled with him. Reconciliation means that at one point, things were really bad. But now, they're not. And so for us, it means to walk, to bring one in consistent alignment with the other, that guys, for some of us in this room who've following Christ, endeavoring to follow Christ, it is time for us to bring our actions in consistent obedience, alignment with him. That maybe today that you have this continual, habitual, besetting sin that ultimately you need to bring in alignment. Maybe, just maybe, you've got such a terrible attitude all the time, and the Lord's saying, it's time to bring that in alignment, because ultimately, there's joy in serving God. Now, that was a little quiet right there. That maybe our attitudes need to consistently come into alignment with God, because we are reconciled with him. Number four, we have right standing with God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, God made himself who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In him we become the righteousness of God. The Bible calls us at one point lost. But when we come into faith, we come into relationship, right standing with him. Romans 3:23, it says that everyone has sinned. 6:23, that all have fallen short of the glory of God. 6:23, and the wages of sin, the price, there's a price for that sin, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. What an incredible promise. What an incredible hopeful moment. And then it says in Romans 10 that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. And so it's an incredible promise that we come into right standing with God, not because of us, but because of him. And number five, what are we celebrating when we take the communion, when we take the bread, we take the juice? We're celebrating, number five, this, access to God. Ephesians 2:18, for through Christ we have access to the Father. I have three daughters, and they often have friends stay the night, and if one of them gets, we buy one pizza, we don't leave the friends out. They get it as well, right? Though I may not know the kid very well, or I may not know him, but they get it because they, my daughters, have a relationship with the father, and they get it as well. So true story, there's a man who took his son and seven of his best friends to a carnival for his birthday. So there's those eight kids, and every ride, the dad's passing out tickets to the eight boys as they go and they're getting on the carnival rides. They'd ride it, they'd go to the next carnival ride. The dad would give them a ticket to his son and his seven friends, and they'd get on the carnival ride. And then on one of the rides, another boy comes on. So suddenly it's the son, his seven friends, and another boy. And he goes, wait, who are you? He goes, your son said that you would give me a ticket. He said to talk to you and I could get on the ride. Well, what happened? The dad gave him a ticket because he had relationship with his son, and his son said, hey, go talk to my dad. You can get in too. And that's how it is for us, is that we have access to God because of the work of Christ on the cross. And that, man, isn't that an amazing promise? That we have access to God because Jesus bridged the gap when he hung on the cross, and that you and I can go boldly before the throne. And so when we take communion, it's remembering, God, I have access to you in relationship with you. See, we're not deist in the sense that God created it, blew it into motion, and then walked away. That there is still relationship and access to God. That he didn't leave us out here on our own. That there is still access to him because of Christ. And so how many of you in here in your life, you've ever needed access to God? You needed to pray. You needed to talk to him. You needed help. That's what we have as believers, access to God. And number six is this. Is what do we do, or what do we remember when we take communion? We remember the liberty and the freedom that we have from the devil's power in our lives. We have freedom. We have liberty. It says this in Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. If you want to write this down in your notes, also write down Hebrews 2:14. That when America won its independence from England, we were not under their rule anymore. There was a new set of guidelines for us. It's the same with Christ. Because of Christ, we don't have to live with addiction in our lives. Because of Christ, we don't have to live with anger in our lives. Because of Christ, we don't have to live bound by lust. Because of Christ, we don't have to live with bitterness that rots us from the inside out. Because of Christ, we don't have to live with condemnation and guilt for all the stuff. There is liberty and freedom in him. There is liberty and freedom in God. And so when we take communion today, we're remembering this spiritual freedom that comes for us today. And sometimes maybe we take it for granted, but I want us to deeply remember the freedom that we have in Christ. Remember what he's done, because it is still significant for us today. So today, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. I'm going to ask some of our elders to get ready to serve communion. And here's what we're going to do today. In just a moment, we're going to stand up and we're going to come and receive communion. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to come down the outside aisles where these guys are coming down, take the elements, and go back to your seat up the center aisle. And if you would keep the elements, and we're going to take them together at the end in just a moment. But while you're holding them and while everyone else is being served, I just want you to worship the Lord and remember what he has done for you. Would you stand with me this morning? If you would, I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads for just a moment. Dear God, today, I pray that you would stir our hearts, and that, Lord, today as we take communion, it wouldn't be because we've always turned to the right and sang the song. It wouldn't be because we've always taken the bread and the juice. But instead, it would be because we remember the things you've done for us. And that the moment that we came to faith in you, it was a monumental moment in which we crossed the line of unbelief to belief. And we became a Christian, forgiven, redeemed. We came into right relationship with you, that as we take communion, it would be incredibly special to us today. Let it stir our hearts.